Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? One very quick correction. The Veterans Banquet is at 6:30 Friday, not 7 o'clock. So just keep that in mind. That's at 6:30 on Friday. When it comes to observing the Lord's Supper, the church at Corinth was really messed up. That may not be a real theological term, but it fits. They were messed up. They were abusing the Lord's Supper because of their actions and attitude. And Paul bluntly confronts them with their sin and forthrightly says to them, "I cannot praise you." The Lord's Supper was about the self-sacrifice of Christ and the unity of the church. The way that the Corinthians were observing the Lord's Supper, it was about the selfishness of the individual and disunity in the church. They had made the Lord's Supper their own supper. Up in verses 20 and 21 of 1 Corinthians 11, he makes that distinction. You're coming together and you think you're observing the Lord's Supper, but you're really not. You're simply eating your own supper. They had what they called their love feast. They combined that with the Lord's Supper, and the love feast was basically what we'd call a fellowship dinner. Nothing wrong with that. Really nothing wrong with having this love feast or this fellowship dinner and having the Lord's Supper along with it, but the way they were doing it, they were coming together, each one was eating his own supper, not sharing with others, and those who had were filled, and those who had not, the poor, were hungry. They weren't waiting on one another, they weren't sharing with one another, and so Paul accused them of looking down on their brother and sister in Christ and humiliating them. And he equated humiliating a brother and sister in Christ as despising the church. And so as they were humiliating their brothers and sisters in Christ and despising the church, then they would observe the Lord's Supper. And Paul said, "That's not the Lord's Supper. And I cannot praise you." As we come to verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're dealing with self-examination and the Lord's Supper. Paul proceeds to tell them what they were doing wrong and what they needed to do to correct it. Notice, beginning with verse 27, "Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait on one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto judgment. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Proceeds to tell them what they needed to do to correct the problem and why. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that we would learn from the example of the Corinthian church before us this morning. They were observing the Lord's Supper in a very selfish and divisive way. And Father, we can be guilty of the same even here in the 21st century. You've asked us to examine ourselves. And I pray even this morning as we gather together, we would examine ourselves and put ourselves to the test by the standard of your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul begins by talking about the discipline of the Lord. Notice verse 27 starts with the word therefore. When you use the word therefore, you're drawing a conclusion. He's just told the Corinthians how they were abusing the Lord's Supper, and so now he draws the conclusion as to what they need to do about that. He says their actions were wrong, their attitude was wrong, and he's proceeding to tell them what their actions really mean and what they needed to do about it. And so he draws this conclusion, beginning with verse 27 down to the end of the chapter, as to what they needed to do to correct their sin and their abuse of the Lord's Supper. He says in verse 34, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Your translation may say, "He that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner." He's not talking here about the individual being worthy or unworthy as such. The fact of the matter is, none of us in and of ourselves are worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're all sinners, and we're not in ourselves worthy of partaking of the Lord's Supper to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So it's not talking about whether we're worthy or not, but he does tell us that us unworthy sinners are able to partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. The Corinthians weren't partaking of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. And so he says to them, if you eat this bread and drink this cup in an unworthy manner, you're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. Because of their selfishness and their divisiveness, the Corinthians were not eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. As I said before, they were eating of their own supper and not sharing it with others in this love feast, in this fellowship dinner. They weren't waiting for others. They would show up and they would just go ahead and eat. And others weren't even there yet. And when the others came, there was nothing left. And so he says, you're acting selfishly. And as you act selfishly, you are indeed eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They were humiliating those who had not. He says up in verse 21, as we looked at it a few weeks ago, in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. Do you not have houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? You're shaming them, you're humiliating them. He says you're treating your brothers and sisters in Christ in this way, and then you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. To eat and drink the symbols of his selfless sacrifice while acting selfishly is to be guilty of his death. He says, if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. To act in this way with selfishness, you're there to remember the selfless act of Christ, but you're acting selfishly. How can you possibly partake of that Lord's Supper? How can you eat the symbols of his body and drink the symbol of his blood when you're acting that way with that attitude? You're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. To eat and drink the symbols of his death, which brought unity and reconciliation, while acting in ways which produce disunity and alienation, is to be guilty of his death. As we remember the death of Christ and his sacrificed body and his shed blood, we recognize that it's about unity. It brings us into unity with him and with the Father. It brings us into the family with one another in unity amongst us. But if our actions are producing alienation and disunity, how can we partake of the symbols of his body and of his blood? It's to remember what he has done for us, and he brought us into reconciliation with the Father. He brought us together as one in the body of Christ. And we're partaking of those symbols of that death of Christ, that broken body and that shed blood that brought that reconciliation and that unity, and yet we're acting to cause division and disunity and alienation. That's not the Lord's Supper. That's your own supper, is what he says in the earlier verses. Notice down in verse 29, emphasizing it even some more, he says, "For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Eats and drinks judgment to himself. The King James Version, the old King James, has the word damnation in that verse, and that's not a good translation. We as believers, and he is talking to believers here, we as believers will never be damned or condemned with the unbelievers for eternity. That's the word damnation, and that's not the word that's used here. The King James translated it wrongly. We as believers will not be condemned with the world and with the unbelievers, but he does say we will be judged. And notice verse 32, that judgment is the chastening of the Lord, so that we will not be condemned with the world. So he says there, if you're eating and drinking in this unworthy manner, there will be judgment from the Lord, and that judgment is in the form of chastisement or in the form of discipline. And he will discipline us as believers so that we will not be condemned with the world, will not be damned with the unbelievers, but we will be disciplined by a loving heavenly Father. And so he says, if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you will be disciplined by God. Notice he says in verse 29 too, he says, you're not discerning the Lord's body. The idea is that you're not properly recognizing what this sacrifice was all about. You're not fully appreciating the sacrifice of his body upon the cross for us in his death in our behalf and in our place. And so he says to eat and drink of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner will result in the Lord's discipline, not condemnation with the unbelievers. But to continue in our sin while eating and drinking the Lord's Supper is not properly discerning or recognizing the sacrifice Christ made in our behalf, and it makes a sham of the Lord's Supper. He says you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not properly recognizing and not properly appreciating what he has done in your behalf. Christ sacrificed his body. He shed his blood. He died for our sins. He died for our selfishness. He died for our pride. He died for those sins that we commit against one another. How can we partake of the symbols of that death, the symbols of his body and blood, while continuing in those sins and harboring those sins in our lives? We're not remembering the sacrifice in our behalf if we're continuing to live in the sins for which he died. We're not discerning the Lord's body. And in the case of the Corinthians, they were not making that distinction between the Lord's Supper and their own supper. They come together for that love feast, for that fellowship dinner, and they were eating, and then they had observed the Lord's Supper, but there was no distinction. They just ate of the symbols of the Lord's sacrifice in our behalf as if it meant nothing. There was no remembrance of the sacrifice. There was no remembrance of that shed blood and that broken body, not while they were acting in sinful ways towards one another. And notice, lest you think that it's not a big deal, lest you think that the discipline of the Lord is just a little slap on the wrist. Verse 30 says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." The discipline that God will bring is weakness, sickness, and yes, even death. Don't take this further than what he's talking about here. He's not saying that every weakness and every sickness and every death is the discipline of God. He's not saying that. He is saying, however, that this is God's discipline for eating and drinking in an unworthy manner of the Lord's Supper. Not properly discerning the Lord's body. Not properly appreciating and recognizing what this is all about. And if we're continuing to live in our sin and continue to harbor sin in our lives while we are eating of the symbols of his death, we're not properly recognizing his death. We're not properly appreciating the sacrifice that he gave in our behalf. And his discipline is weakness, sickness, and yes, even death. And so what do we need to do? That brings us to the believer's self-examination. In verse 28, he says, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Let a man examine himself. The word there means to put yourself to the test. Put yourself to the test. Not by the standard of this world, not by the standard of one another. That's what we're so prone to do, isn't it? And we want to compare ourselves with the person next to us. Well, at least I'm not that bad, so I guess I'm okay. Well, it's not about the other person. Not about comparing yourself with them or especially comparing ourselves with the culture around us. That's not the standard. The standard is the Word of God. And I need to put myself to the test. I need to examine myself based upon the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? How does the Word of God instruct me? That's the standard. That's the way that I need to examine myself as I put myself to the test. One of the most important parts of the Lord's Supper is this time of self-examination. And yet I'm afraid that it's often the most neglected part of the Lord's Supper. When we come together for the Lord's Supper, we partake of the elements, but do we examine ourselves? As those elements are being passed out, are we truly putting ourselves to the test? Are we seeing ourselves through the eyes of God Himself? Based upon the standard of His Word and based upon the standard of His holiness, not based upon my standard or the standard of the world. We need to be asking ourselves the question, am I being selfish in any way as the church in Corinth was? Am I in any way being prideful and looking down on others? Am I humiliating others? Am I in any way sinning against my brother and sister in Christ? Am I in any way harboring ill will towards them? Am I in any way at odds with my brother and sister in Christ? Am I in any way turning my back on them in their time of need? That's, again, in the church at Corinth, there were some who were poor. Probably some of them were slaves and some of them were masters. The masters were looking down upon the slaves and despising the church of God, and they were humiliating them, when in Christ there is neither free men or slave. Turning their back on the ones who were in need, the ones who had not, and they were not sharing. Are we a source of disunity or division in any way? We need to be examining ourselves so that we are not eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. We cannot possibly be acting in these ways and harboring these sins while at the same time eating the symbols of the death of Christ in which He died for those sins. So an important part of the Lord's Supper is this self-examination. Are we harboring sin in our lives, the very sins for which Christ died? The answer is not to just refrain from eating and drinking. That's not the answer, and that's what many have done. Many have said, well, I guess I just won't partake of the Lord's Supper. I guess I won't eat of the bread and drink of the cup because I'm not perfect. Well, no, none of us are. As I said, none of us are worthy in and of ourselves. But the answer, as Paul says here, is to examine yourselves and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We examine ourselves, we recognize our sin, we acknowledge that sin, we confess that sin, we repent of that sin, we recognize that the death of Christ indeed covered that sin, and then we eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so it's not about refraining from eating and drinking. It is about confessing our sin, repenting of that sin, and then eating of that bread and drinking of that cup. Verse 31, we're assured that if we do examine ourselves, God will not have to bring that judgment, that discipline. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He's simply saying if you discipline yourself, God won't have to discipline you. If you recognize and acknowledge your sin and confess your sin and bring that sin under the blood of Christ and repent of that sin, then you won't be disciplined by the Lord. He's our loving Heavenly Father. We're told in Hebrews that He will discipline those whom He loves. And because He loves us, He will discipline us. Just like any parent who truly loves their child, they're going to discipline them, they're going to train them, they're going to teach them so that they will grow up and live a life that is productive. And so God likewise will discipline those whom He loves, His children. But like any parent, none of us enjoy disciplining our children. We do it because we love them, but we don't really enjoy doing it. We'd much rather that they discipline themselves. And God, likewise, doesn't want to have to spank us. He doesn't want to have to chastise us. He will, out of love for us, but He'd much rather we discipline ourselves, that we examine ourselves, that we look at ourselves and put ourselves to the test and confess our sin and repent of it. But He will bring discipline if necessary. And so in verse 31, we are assured that if we examine ourselves, then God will not have to discipline us, which out of His love for us, He will do if necessary. Examine ourselves, confess our sin, repent of our sin, and then eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. And that's really, in the last two verses, he calls the Corinthians to repentance. Notice in verse 33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Again, what was happening as they'd come together for these love feasts, some would get there and they'd have their own food and they'd eat their own food and they wouldn't even wait for the others to come. And when the others came, the poor would come. They had nothing. So the one was filled and the other was hungry. They wouldn't share with one another. They wouldn't wait for one another. And Paul says, you need to come together and wait for one another. Wait till everyone gets there and share with one another. That's what a selfless act would be. If any man hunger, verse 34, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto judgment. It says, if you can't wait, then eat before you come. Seems like a simple solution, doesn't it? If you're so hungry you can't wait for others, then eat before you come. But don't come and be so selfish that you're filled and others are hungry. And then you observe the Lord's Supper, that which is about the selfless act of Christ, that which is about the unity of the church, and you're acting so selfishly, and you're causing this disunity within the church, that is eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. You're partaking of those symbols of His death, and you're forgetting what the death is all about. So Paul instructs the Corinthians to repent of their sin, so that they'll not be disciplined by God. You know, it says that we are to examine ourselves. We're to put ourselves to the test. That is in a present tense, which refers to a continuous action. It's not that it's the Lord's Supper is the only time we should examine ourselves. That ought to be an ongoing thing in our lives continuously. Got to be examining ourselves, putting ourselves to the test by the standard of God's word. That ought to be a daily thing in our lives. But certainly the Lord's Supper is a great time to be reminded of how important it is to put ourselves to the test, to examine ourselves. You know, part of that self-examination, I don't think we should understand that as it's all about me examining myself alone. I think that self-examination is going to others and even asking them, hey, is there anything in my life that you see that I should be correcting? That's still self-examination. You're asking them to, you're the one, yourself, is asking them to help you. That's self-examination. We ought to be going to others and saying, is there anything in my life that you think I need to be addressing? That's part of the self-examination. Most of you know that I have a pilot's license. Haven't flown in quite a while now, but I have a pilot's license. And it was by regulation, every 2 years, you had to go up with an instructor. And you had to get signed off by an instructor every 2 years. And that doesn't matter if you flew for 10 hours or 110 hours or 1,010 hours. Every 2 years, you need to go up with an instructor. Why? Because it was very easy to get into a bad habit and not know it. You'd be flying and flying and flying for hours and hours and hours, and you just very easily could drift into a bad habit and not even know it. And so you'd have to go up with an instructor so that he could put you to the test, so to speak, and examine you to make sure that you haven't slipped into a bad habit. And so we need to go to others, because we can slip into bad habits. We can slip into sin and not see it in ourselves. So part of the self-examination is me, myself, going to someone and saying, do you see anything in my life? We're afraid to do that sometimes. We don't want to open ourselves up in that way. But it is necessary for self-examination. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a list of the works of the flesh. And if you read down through the list of the works of the flesh, you find that every single one of them will cause disunity. Whether it's disunity within the family, whether it's disunity with your friends, whether it's disunity in the church, the works of the flesh are relationship breakers, relationship destroyers. And then in that same context, Galatians 5, it also lists the fruit of the Spirit. And as you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control, every one of those things will build relationships. Again, whether it's among friends, whether it's within families, whether it's within the church, they build relationships. We need to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to be examining ourselves. Is that fruit evident in my life? Or are the works of the flesh coming out? And if we are living by the flesh, if the works of the flesh is what characterizes our life, and then we come and we observe the Lord's Supper and we partake of those symbols of His body and blood, Christ died for those works of the flesh. And we're living by the flesh, harboring the sins of the flesh, and then we think that we're properly remembering the sacrifice of Christ. Paul says you're eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. You're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. You're eating and drinking judgment to yourself. And the only remedy is to examine yourself, to confess your sin, to repent of your sin, and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's to remember the sacrifice of Christ. So we need to be examining ourselves continuously, but the Lord's Supper is certainly a great reminder to put ourselves to the test. Christ died for our sinful works of the flesh, which destroy unity, so that we might bear the fruit of the Spirit, which builds unity. The church at Corinth was greatly divided because of the works of the flesh. We cannot eat and drink of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner while living according to the flesh. Are you willing to examine yourself this morning? Are you willing to ask someone else, a close friend, even your spouse, is there anything in my life that you see I need to be working on? Something that's not right? Something that is a work of the flesh? Tonight is our communion service. Will we be obedient to the command to remember what our Savior has done for us in this special and unique way? And will we do so because we've examined ourselves and confessed our sin and repented of them, so that we might eat of that bread and drink of that cup, which is a great reminder, the sacrifice of our Savior. He died for our sins so that we could have eternal life. We stand in Christ alone, as we've sung earlier this morning. Salvation belongs to our God. He saved us through the sacrifice of His Son. And we come not in our own righteousness, not in our own worthiness, but in the righteousness of Christ. We can partake in a worthy manner because our sins have been taken away by that shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we are so grateful for the sacrifice of our Savior. We unworthy sinners can stand before a holy God. We can partake of those symbols of His shed blood and broken body in a worthy manner because our sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we rejoice in that truth, and yet we recognize it's very easy to continue to live in sin and to harbor sin in our lives and make a sham of the Lord's Supper, to be hypocrites as we partake of those elements. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to properly discern the Lord's body, to fully appreciate and recognize what it truly means. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And certainly rejoice in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? Father, we thank You so much for our time together this morning. We thank You for the cross of Calvary. Thank You, Father, for Your love manifested upon that cross. I pray that we would properly appreciate and recognize what it stands for, and that our lives would reflect that we have truly discerned the Lord's body. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.